Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Podcast. I'm Andrew Mearns, joined as always by Kun Shaw, back from vacation. How you doing?
Woo! Well, I'm well rested, and I didn't watch any Yankees or pay attention to them at all, so I'm doing great.
We can all aspire to that, I think. Yeah, especially over the past week of Yankees baseball, which I guess has been better than the week of Yankees baseball that I podcasted about with Matt Provenzano, which was just all losses. But this time it was only mostly losses.
Yeah, congratulations to the Yankees for not winning a single game while I was out of the country and literally waiting for the day I got back to win their first game. Thank you for that.
They were just like, there's no point. I mean, Shaw's not watching. Then, like, yeah. What do we have to play for?
Yeah, I landed at JFK when I came back. So when I got to drive past Citi Field and yell at them, I think that really did it. So kudos to me. You're all welcome,
Yankees fans. I think you and Aaron Judge share equal credit for the win on Saturday.
I mean, I think more me than Judge, because Judge was with the team when they lost every day.
That's true.
Yankees MVP, Kun Shaw, you heard it here.
It's true. Yeah, but it's been quite the past several days of Yankees baseball, where first the Yankees ended the series against the Blue Jays by getting swept at home. They scored 8 runs total, and they never had a lead. Way to go, guys. That was a damn atrocious showing. And after that, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Mets. The one win that they did get was a nail biter where Chapman was on in the 9th. And that's been so dicey lately that you didn't know it was coming, but he did convert the save. And that was powered, of course, by Aaron Judge's 2 homers. They lost on Sunday with Francisco Lindor hitting 3 home runs against them. And the beef did not work in their favor that night.
Once again.
Yeah, it's annoying too, because like, I love when baseball players, you know, show emotion and actually get that kind of competition running, because you don't really see that much in MLB versus like the NBA or NFL or something like that. But anytime the Yankees do it, it just blows up in their face.
Yeah, I think Jesse had a post on that that came out today when we're recording on Tuesday. About that, like this for the last like 2 years, 3 years or whatever, starting with like ALDS in 2018 against Boston, it just has not worked in the Yankees' favor. Like, I think I share the same sentiment as Jesse. I love it. Keep doing it, but back it up, guys.
Yeah, just make sure you're able to do it in like at home where you cannot be victimized or anything like that. I don't know.
Yeah. And like the whole thing on Sunday was just weird too, because I guess Francisco Lindor was a little mad because they thought the Yankees were like sign stealing and whistling with pitch tipping and this whole nonsense. And then after Stanton hit his home run, like in the middle of his home run trot, he stopped to talk shit to Lindor, which I kind of love.
Yeah,
that was great. But then of course immediately they let Lindor hit a game-winning home run for his 3rd one. It's just like, oh, okay, yep.
As Josh pointed out with his recap, the best part of the whole, you know, benches clearing thing was Mike Harkey just slowly making his way out from the bullpen. Like, this is so tedious.
Nothing's going to happen. We just have to walk all the way out there to walk all the way back.
Yeah.
This is useless.
Punches get thrown so rarely in these things. So yeah. It's just like, okay, guys, just very cool. And as we should point out here, that there is a grand difference between sign stealing and pitch tipping, which, you know, is not sign stealing. That's just the pitcher screwing up, basically, and the hitter's capitalizing on that. Because if you're giving tells, then it's irresponsible to not capitalize on that. Sorry.
Yeah, like there's no like, oh my god, he's telling me what's gonna happen. I'm just not gonna swing at it now because
honor,
my integrity or something like that. No, shut up, do it.
Yeah, and you know, credit to Taiwan Walker, he did turn it around after that. But still, it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but it's been interesting, and especially I was looking at the standings today, like. Technically, I think the Yankees are in third place in the East by like the smallest of margins, but they're essentially tied with the Red Sox for the second wild card spot.
Right. Yeah, that's another fun change for you since getting back from vacation, where, yeah, you know, when you left, it seemed like the Yankees were smooth sailing and might have to fight to keep that home field advantage. But the wild card thing, it was not really too much in doubt at that point. But, you know, when you go 3-12, then that kind of erases everything from the 13-game winning streak.
Yeah, the last time we recorded, I remember specifically saying, hey, if you want to go make a run at the division, go for it, because you're only 4 games back. And that turned into what the hell happened?
Yeah, and again, credit to the Blue Jays, because they've finally been playing to their run differential expectations. They've always, the entire season, they've been underachieving, really, because of how much their offense and pitching has stood up. The bullpen was just losing a bunch of games for them and putting them out a little bit further, but now they're finally playing to their level, and they may very well end up running away with that top wild card spot. We'll see. There's a lot of road left to the end of the season for the Yankees or Red Sox or even A's and Mariners to make things interesting, but they are, I think, now the heavy favorite to host that wild card game.
The run differential thing is hilarious, because like they've all season had like a run differential of like plus 170.
Yeah.
And yet they were like in fourth place for most of the season, when really they really are probably the second best team in the division behind the Rays. Obviously, the Yankees would be in that conversation for best team or second best team if they were actually playing like that. But the Yankees haven't been playing well. Whereas the Blue Jays, like you said, their offense has been phenomenal. Their starting pitch has been good enough, at least for the offense, to make up for whatever, what's the word I'm looking for, inconsistency or whatever there is. But then the bullpen just kept blowing it for them. And now it seemed to all come together. And they honestly probably deserve that for a wild card spot more than the Yankees, if the Yankees even sneak in.
Yeah, and they're actually a closer team to the Rays than I think anyone really gives them credit for. There's obviously a big difference in terms of actual games in the standings. As we speak, the Blue Jays are 8 games behind the Rays, which is not nothing. But when you look at run differential, expected win-loss record, Pythagorean one-loss record, it's really close between those two teams at the top of the division. And honestly, in all the teams in the American League, I think the only one that I would say is pretty clearly better than Toronto is Houston, which annoys me to no end, but so it goes.
Yeah. Like, even if the Yankees, obviously if the Yankees make the playoffs, I'm, you know, we're rooting for them all the way, but like, I have no faith in this Yankee team to do anything significant if they make the playoffs, and like, I wouldn't be surprised if they just completely are like sitting at home in October. Just go National League team, any team, please.
Yeah. Hey, if the White Sox want to upset the Astros, because that's probably they're going to be their division series matchup, they can go right ahead. I think the White Sox are a super fun team. The only way I would root against them would be if the Yankees are playing them in a series.
Yeah. I mean, I want to root for the White Sox. I just can't root for Tony La Russa, and I'm already just picturing all the, oh my God, he came back and led them to a championship like nonsense when like he pretty much had almost had nothing to do with it. And at least in the beginning of the season, I haven't paid too much attention to them recently. But in the beginning of the season, they were playing well in spite of him.
Yeah.
So I'm just not ready for the Tony La Russa love fest.
No.
But Tony La Russa versus Dusty Baker in the playoffs in the year 2021 is probably a hilarious sight to see in just any regard.
Oh, man. Yeah. There's a good SB Nation secret base beef history video between Tony La Russa and Dusty Baker that's worth watching if you ever get a chance to get around to it.
I'm going to have to check that out, because I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, they used to manage against each other a lot in the National League in particular. But
yeah, no, I know that. That's why it's funny to see like them come them going against each other in this year in the American League. But hey, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I guess getting back to the Yankees, we'll give them credit. At least they came back against the Twins on Monday afternoon, because for a while that looked like they were just going to sleepwalk to a pretty embarrassing home loss to a terrible Twins team that lost their starter in the first inning and still held the Yankees mostly hitless through the first five innings.
Yeah, the Yankees, with that comeback victory, have improved to 1-35, I believe it is, when trailing by four or more runs this season.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Congratulations, you did it.
Took them long enough.
Yeah, I mean, if they lost that game, it was just, I don't know. I don't even know what we would have been saying right now. It just wouldn't have been good. Even winning that game, I was telling you earlier when you and I were talking before we started recording, like, even with the win, I was just annoyed at that game.
Yeah, at least they made it memorable with the Judge late three-run home run, then Gary winning it in the 10th inning. That was good because it honestly been a little bit since Gary had had a good moment. So always down for Gary proving his worth.
Yeah, definitely. The one thing I will say, just real quick on that, Aaron Judge had a comment after the game that just annoyed the crap out of me, and I just need to talk about it a little bit. So after the game yesterday, he was like, if you put up some zeros for this offense, we're going to get the job done eventually. Like, dude, shut up.
That hasn't been proven this season, really. Sorry.
Are you really, though? Because, like, when is eventually? And also, like, why are you taking a subtle dig at the pitching staff? Like, oh, if you put up zeros, we'll get the job done. Like, the pitching staff has been good. Like, don't act like they haven't really been solid and carrying your guys' asses for most of the year. Maybe just score early and often, and you don't need to depend on the pitching staff putting up zeros and, you know, just waiting. And maybe you could take some pressure off of them.
Yeah, Jordan Montgomery is definitely going to slash his tires, I'm pretty sure.
like, are you sure? I think Matt had a good comment in our Slack, like, eventually might mean 17 innings, but hey.
Yeah, I was like, oh, don't worry. Once we get to the 15th inning, then we'll really break out the big guns.
We'll use that, the stupid man or the Manfred man, whatever you want to call him. The dumb man. I think that's what I referred to it as. Yeah. The dumb man.
I'm just glad that they didn't waste any time after they got to the dumb man part of the game in Monday, and they did bring that run home immediately in the 10th after Clay Holmes threw the scoreless top of the 10th. So
yeah, Clay Holmes was solid in the top of the 10th there, and like, what an acquisition that's been. I feel like we've talked a lot about everyone, all the other people that have come over, but not as much about Clay Holmes.
Yeah, it's like low-key probably the best deadline move that Cashman made. You know, because yes. Rizzo has had his moments. Gallo has been very hot or cold. He did homer on Monday, so that was nice to see. He did a homer over the weekend at Citi Field, so maybe he's building something from there. But of all the performers, I mean, I know Clay Holmes had to miss, like, I think, like a week or so because he was on the COVID IL. But of all the performers that they've acquired, he's been the most consistent. He's been a very steadying presence in that bullpen at a time when they've needed someone, because they've looked just entirely gassed. And now without Jonathan Loaisiga too, that's only increased the pressure. And Chad Green made him worse. Wandy Peralta's had to work a ton too. Lucas Lickey is pitching every other day. So kudos on that one.
I definitely agree with kudos, but there's something I very much disagree with that you just said.
What?
That Clay Holmes has been the most consistent. I feel like Andrew Heaney's been the most consistent. Nobody gives up home runs at a consistent pace like Andrew Heaney does.
Hey, the weirdest thing, though, he pitched on back-to-back days against the Mets and Twins and looked okay. I mean, I don't trust him at all, but if he wants to settle into any sort of modest middle relief role to salvage this terrible, terrible acquisition, fine. Please do not start him, but fine.
We'll always have that one against the Red Sox that somehow happened.
Yeah, that's the most, if I'm a Red Sox fan, that's the angriest I am at the team for any individual performance this year, aside from, you know, all the unvaccinated Red Sox leading to a COVID outbreak.
Yeah, like, and even with, like, you know, when that happened, we were talking about how the Red Sox were faltering and, like, they're just, like, you know, crashing down to earth. Even with all that happening, how do you let Andrew Heaney do that to you?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That lineup even had, I think, Bogarts and Devers in there too. So it's not like they didn't have their best hitters in there. They were there. They just got dominated by Andrew Heaney.
In the year 2021. Congrats.
Anything is possible.
Yay!
Anyway, that's old news. We should get back to the main task at hand with the Yankees, because I guess we should talk about the big news that they announced on Monday, which is that Gleyber Torres is probably not going to be a shortstop anymore. And that is a move that is a long time coming and just a big old bummer.
Yeah. I think you can justify keeping him out there if the bat was also like what we saw from Gleyber Torres in 2018 and 2019. And like, you know, you can live with, you know, some bad defense and whatever, but when you're not helping your case on either side and just costing the team games.
Yeah.
And like the amount of errors he's had, especially, I didn't watch any of it in the past week or week and a half that I've been gone. But from what I've seen, like he just had a lot of defensive miscues over the last like week and a half that just led to this decision finally happening. And I think it's the right call. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out with Gio Urshela primarily handling shortstop duties and DJ LeMahieu going to third base primarily. So, like, you know, it's a lot of reshuffling, a lot of playing guys out of their natural position, which it's fine for like a game or two here and there, like a, you know, situation. But like as a on a permanent basis, you're always a little like, oh, God, how's this going to go? But, hey, they had to do something.
Yeah, it's an all hands on deck situation right now. And they are going to be able to like get a good immediate acquisition to help them right now. So they got to basically make it up. Be like, all right, we'll use Gio for a lot at shortstop. We'll probably use Tyler Wade there a bunch. I'm sure Andrew Velasquez will be back at some point and he'll get some time there too. But it's the only way to do it and keep Gleyber in the lineup, which, as you said, he's not really doing a ton on offense right now. He is showing a little bit more in the past 2 days. He homered it over the weekend at Citi Field. So maybe that's the start of something. His at-bats have been a little bit better lately. And if he can get at least any sort of comfort again, I think that would be helpful. Because he was making, as you said, he was making errors on very routine plays at shortstop. Like, I made this comparison on Twitter, and Derek Jeter's range at shortstop was really, really bad. It just wasn't good. But the one thing that Jeter was always good for is that he would make the routine plays, just slam dunk every single time. He would make the plays on the ground ball double play, the throw to first, right on target. Gleyber wasn't even doing that. He was bobbling routine grounders, and it was just getting very choppy and rough out there, and only made more rough by the fact that Gio Urshela has also looked kind of choppy since he came back. And maybe that'll be its own adventure, shortstop. But you got to try something else because Gleyber wasn't cutting it. And that sucks, but they had to do something, and I think this should be fine in the interim. Hopefully it previews an off season where they will pursue a more long-term shortstop option or third base option even. So,
yeah. And I, again, this is just a, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Like, let's just figure out something for right now situation, but definitely I think something that they're going to have to address largely in the off season as to what they're going to do between short, second, and third. Obviously, you know, you have DJ and all that, but they have to figure out long-term plans.
Yeah, and hopefully we won't have to talk off-season for a while and the Yankees make a surprise run, but we'll see. For now, they'll try to make do with this infield alignment, and fingers crossed that it works out, that everyone stays pretty healthy, and try not to be gassed too much because the team has looked pretty tired during this 20 games and 20 days stretch, and I don't blame them, but it does lead to some sloppier play and leads to the bullpen getting taxed, as we talked about. And the fact that the starting rotation hasn't really been doing a ton for them lately hasn't really helped either. Gerrit Cole having to leave that start early really hurt. Jordan Montgomery, he had one of his worst starts of his career randomly on Friday. And that was an outlier for him this season because he's been pretty good, but it has hurt. And now they're going to have to deal with out having Jameson Taillon either because he has a partial tear in his ankle and he is only throwing on flat ground now. So he might be another week out from returning at the very least. So we'll see.
Yeah, and it's like one thing when like we've talked a bunch about how this team this season has looked so like lifeless and just like boring almost. So to take that team and like for them to look gassed, like tired, is just impressive and just shows you how like tired they actually probably are. Because you would think normally it wouldn't stand out because this team just doesn't look like full of life to begin with.
Right.
But that the fact that they're still even looking gassed and all that is just not great. But hey, hopefully they'll figure it out. Hopefully me returning was the inspiration they needed to kind of go on another 13-game winning streak.
Exactly.
Even though they have lost the game since I got back. But those are just details.
Yeah, well, at least obviously that game was really annoying for many reasons. But that was a loss that it sucked. But it's not one that's going to deflate you as much because they played very hard in it. They had some comebacks. The ones that really get me are the ones that it looked like Monday was going to turn into, where they just never even showed up. But Thankfully, they turned that around.
Yeah, because they were just waiting for the offense to decide to participate on Monday.
Yeah. And now all we have to do is hope that this time that you do not blow an opportunity to beat up on the Baltimore Orioles, because this is crunch time, especially right now. They cannot afford to lose games to the Baltimore Orioles. So please just take care of business. Thank you very much.
Gerrit Cole just going to be so annoyed by this team. He's just going to throw a perfect game and still somehow manage to lose because of the freaking dumb man in the 10th inning.
That is possible.
For first folks.
Yeah, but a good example of what good teams are supposed to do against the Orioles, the Blue Jays just kept on winning, and they pounded the Orioles for, I think it was like 40 runs over four games against them. And it's like, okay, yep, that seems about right.
Yeah, I liked the Blue Jays tweet the other day. I think they tweeted it yesterday, like on Monday, about their Sunday, and like, NFL teams we outscored yesterday in a list of like 15 teams, including both New York football teams. That's fun.
And the Bills. Was,
yeah, and in a tiny little subscript, the Bills.
Like, sorry, guys. We like you.
We actually like you, but we did outscore you.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. What the Blue Jays did recently against the Orioles and what the Rays have done all season against the Orioles is what the Yankees should have been doing against the Orioles and what the Yankees should be doing against the Orioles. And again, you can't change what happened, but starting tonight, they really need to just go at it and just remember that they're facing the Orioles and Orioles pitching.
Yeah. And here's where I'll put the outcome of how that went.
It did go well. Gerrit Cole only threw 5 innings of 1-run ball, but hey, 5 innings took 5 innings. And Michael came through good relief. More importantly, the Yankees had a whole bunch of homers. That's what we want to see. More, please.
I guess one thing we should talk about is that the Yankees could end up having some pitching reinforcements coming soon. Domingo Germán is starting a rehab assignment today, so he could be coming back soon. And here, for the third time this year, I guess we'll be saying maybe Luis Severino will do something. But at least this time, they're just looking at maybe he can be a bullpen contributor. And if that is something that he's able to work himself back to, then they would welcome it for sure. And any attempt to salvage anything from 2021 for Sevy would be great.
Yeah, it would just be great to see him even make one appearance just for the sake of like, okay, he's finally healthy.
Yeah.
Forget like making an impact on the year, whatever he does with that. If he makes a positive impact, that's just added bonus. But him even just making it back will be a good sign and like, you know, help us look forward to his 2022.
Yeah. And someone who we might not even see in 2022 is Zach Britton, who it did turn out that they had to do some elbow reconstructive surgery. So basically Tommy John surgery in all but name. So if we see him next year, it might not be until the very end of the season. So as we talked about, we may have already seen Zach Britton's last pitch as a Yankee and also Clint Frazier's last at bat as a Yankee, because he's been shut down for 2021 as well. And I don't know what his future holds either.
Yeah, especially with the trade deadline acquisitions, but Joey Gallo being around for another year at least, it's harder and harder to find a spot for Clint Frazier. But hey, we'll see. Hopefully, wherever he ends up, he can kind of if he can get back to playing baseball with all his like, you know, concussion and dizziness issues and all that. If he can get back to playing baseball, I mean, the talent is there,
big time. Yeah. And what he flashed in 2020 was probably the apex of anything we saw from Clint Frazier, but he could be a very good ball player. And I think he just needs to go play somewhere where he doesn't have to worry about playing time. And as long as his vision issues are sorted out, I think he will become a contributor somewhere, but I don't think he's going to be a Yankee anymore. And that's too bad. He had some fun moments, but so it goes.
No, yeah, definitely. I always liked Clint Frazier. I was sad when the Yankees traded away Andrew Miller in 2016, but Clint Frazier was a good return. And, you know, he's just always been fun and exciting to kind of follow. But yeah, we wish him well and wish him best of luck, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take an ad break and we'll be right back. And we're back. So we're going to skip the Meet a Baby Bomber segment this week. We may end up skipping it for the rest of the season. It is a lot of extra work and real world things that sort of made that time for extra research a little bit tighter. And also the minor league season is coming to a close pretty shortly anyway. So if we see anything particularly notable, we'll be sure to bring it up. But for now, we'll just do a Kunj's B-War update since he's been looking at the leaderboards for the first time since he went on vacation.
Yeah, apparently there's things in here that are surprises to me, but not to you guys who are listening or to you. But I got really excited to see Lucas Litke make an appearance on the leaderboard because that's the first time all season he's done it, Mr. Stay-at-Home Dad, with 1.3 B-War. But I think he made his way on there last week, and he was part of your fill-in update for me. So, and I think you mentioned that you also noted that Garrett Cole retook the top spot from Aaron Judge last week too. But when I left, Judge had briefly taken over the top spot from Cole, but currently Cole has 5.7 B-War to Aaron Judge's 5.2.
So take that, Aaron. Better hit some more home runs. Yeah, do it, won't. Coward.
Yeah. Don't wait for eventually. And yes, I'm going to keep harping on that because it really bothered me. I don't know why, but it really bothered me.
Well, hey, he has hit 3 home runs in the past 3 games. So good start. Keep it going. Beat up in Baltimore. Add to that homer total, man.
Yeah, I think he was just warming up for Baltimore. So, like, you know, getting 3 home runs leading into a Baltimore series can only be a good sign in theory. But, like, I don't want to tempt the 2021 Yankees to prove me wrong.
Yeah, and it's a long shot for him to reach 40 home runs at this point because he's only at 33 even after that outburst. But the thing is with Aaron Judge, when we've seen him get hot, he can get on a pretty crazy roll there. So it's not entirely out of the question. That's all I'll say.
Hey, I'm still holding out hope for 74. I think it can happen.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, he's fallen short of your expectations, but
slightly. But if he gets to 74 in the last couple of weeks, that'd be even more impressive. So do it.
Yeah. Just challenge him again. Yes. All right. So anything else, or should we move on to the end of the show?
Yeah, I think that covers it. There's not really much. I mean, I think you recorded pretty recently. So
yeah.
We'll be...
Did you talk about Brett Gardner making a brief cameo before disappearing again?
Oh, I forgot about that because I didn't actually see it. So, like, to me, it's an illusion. But,
yeah, it was like Haley's Comet. Like, I logged on, I think it was like Sunday. He was 12th. And I was like, wait, what? And then the next day he was gone. And I was like, okay, well, that was weird.
Yeah. If Brett Gardner is making your WAR leaderboard in the year 2021, you guys have to be, whoever's not on the leaderboard should just be embarrassed because, like, yeah, he's been, I guess, a little bit better of late for the most part, but still, he's somebody who should be retiring at the end of this year.
No, I think basically all that was is Gary had a bad week and then Gardner snuck on and then Gary had the walk-off yesterday and that helped him. So now he's back on there. So
maybe Gary's just looking at the leaderboard and is like, wait, how the hell did this guy get in front of me? Nope, I'm going to make sure to get back.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing that I noticed was Corey Kluber finally fell off of this, which I think he did better while he was on the injured list than he has since he came back, which is not really a great sign.
Because he hasn't come back, especially sharp from the IL. The Yankees are still just hanging in there, seeing what happens with him. And right now there are so few starting pitching options that it's like fine, but man, it's been rough.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine if this team makes the playoffs, makes it past the wild card, what that rotation looks like outside of Cole and Montgomery. Because Tyone, we don't know exactly if he's going to come back and which Tyone we're going to get, because he's had a very Jekyll and Hyde season in the sense that, like, he was just awful. Then he was the de facto ace. And then maybe he was just – he put together a string of bad starts after, his month plus of really good starts. Maybe that was just the injury kind of like coming up until they finally realized he was hurt. So hopefully if they get him healthy, he can kind of go back to being the good starter that he had been. But
yeah, one thing that was weird is that in his last start, he had actually been good for the first time in a month. And then he went on the IL. So I was like, well, okay. But if, fingers crossed this happens, because that would be really fun to watch. But if the Yankees do make it all the way to at least the division series, we may unironically see Nestor Cortes Jr. playoff starter, which screw it, whatever. Let's go.
Hey, nasty Nestor, man. He's been doing his thing, I guess.
Sixth on the team in WAR. So you know what? Sure.
Sure.
Okay. So let's go ahead. We'll wrap this up with the Yankee and Mitre of the week. All right. Who is your Yankee of the week?
So my Yankee of the week is going to be a tie, actually.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with any active Yankees, or even one of them is not even a person who's ever been a Yankee. But the tie is going to go between CC Sabathia and myself.
Well, yes. I'm glad you're so modest about this.
So CC Sabathia gets it because while I was on vacation, I started reading his book Till the End. I haven't finished it yet, but I should correct that. I started listening to the audiobook because I was just looking at the ocean and didn't want to read words in a book, but I was just listening to his audiobook while looking at the Indian Ocean. And honestly, it's been a very, very phenomenal read or listen, however that works so far. So kudos to him. I think when we restarted doing the podcast, my first Yankee of the week was CC Sabathia for his HBO documentary Under the Grapefruit Tree. So you know, just kind of coming back here with listening to his book, it's been good. And then the other half of it, me, because they didn't win at all while I was gone, and then I yelled at them and they've won 2 out of 3 so far. So hey,
I'm proud of you. You did some good work.
I'm the MVP.
Yeah, but I read Till the End too. It is a good book, so definitely recommend anyone if you're looking to put a book on your registry or whatever for people asking you, what do you want for a present? Because like, if you're like me, I'm like, I don't know. I just buy what I want because but if someone wants to buy you that, then put it on there. Yeah, it's a good read. Or if you even want to skim it, it's a good skip. So
on the audiobook's pretty good too. So if you're not into necessarily reading or just want something to listen while you're driving or whatever, definitely check it out.
Yeah. What are audiobooks if not long podcasts?
Exactly.
This is like the worst form of that Vision quote from WandaVision.
Oh God.
Yeah. Okay. My Yankee of the week is just going to be Aaron Judge. We'll keep it simple. He's hit a bunch of home runs and they've helped them win the 2 games that they won since our last podcast. So yeah, Aaron Judge, pretty easy. Keep hitting home runs or you're a coward. Well, I was about to ask, I guess, are you going to make him your Mitra of the week to challenge him again? Or are you going to go a different direction?
Well, my Mitra of the week is also a tie. I feel like I have to do 2 for both since I missed last week.
Okay.
But he is one half of that. A, to challenge him because, hey, go destroy the Baltimore Orioles. B, because I really am really irked by that quote. I don't know why, but I can't get past it. So this is probably a little bit or very much unfair Mitra of the week co-honors for him this week. But hey, I'm gonna throw it out there.
gets a Yankee of the week and a co-Mitra of the week. Pretty cool.
In the same week. Congratulations. It's like that, I forgot who it was, but the one year that somebody won Best Actress and also the Razzie for Worst Actress in the year.
That's pretty great.
I forgot who it was. Oh, this is going to bother me. But yeah, so congratulations, Aaron Judge. And the other half of my Mitra of the week is going to go to another Pinstripe Alley writer, one Mr. Andres Chavez. Because before I left, he wrote a thing about the 3 most indispensable players on the Yankees being Jonathan Loaisiga, Gerrit Cole, and Aaron Judge. And since then, they've all had their scares. Obviously, Loaisiga's injury seems to be the most serious, where he's actually been put on the IL. But Gerrit Cole had to leave at start early and, you know, kind of scared us all and had his next start delayed a few days. And then Judge left on Sunday's game with dizziness and gave us all a scare then, too. So Andres has cursed the Yankees, is my opinion. So sorry for the shout out. But yeah, you're on here, good man.
Sorry, Andres. We appreciate your work. But
it was just funny because like I'm on the other side. I see, I hear about Loaisiga going down. I hear about Cole's missing his start. I was like, what the hell? Like, what did Andres do? Then I come back and then Aaron Judge is hurt again. I'm sorry, you solidified your role here.
Hey, in a way, I mean, he was absolutely correct because, you know, they lost almost all those games. So
no, yeah, he was right, but he tempted fate. Yeah. Don't tempt this team.
Don't you dare challenge them.
Yes.
Okay. I need to check something real quick. I'm pretty sure about my Mitra of the week. Yes, my Mitra of the week is Chad Green because he has, I mean, and part of it, I get it because he's been worked a ton this year. We've already talked about how the Yankees bullpen has looked gassed for a while, but he's been just especially bad lately. And he keeps making questionable pitch calls when they're like down, when they're ahead in the count and could just, you know, waste a pitch. Then he gives up a home run. So that's been tough. He lost the game on Sunday against the Mets with the Francisco Lindor's 3rd home run. He almost lost the game on Saturday when he blew the save and gave up a home run then too. So it's been a tough go of it for Chad Green lately. And I'm hopeful that maybe they just give him a few days off, let him recharge a bit, try to stay away from him, and maybe he'll come back fresher, but it's been tough for Chad Green, who I like a lot.
Yeah, I like Chad Green a lot, but, and like you said, like, you know, just fatigue, overuse, whatever it is, but I want to be able to depend on him again, because I don't know who else I trust in that bullpen right now.
Yeah. So. Now, the last time he threw a good game against not the Orioles was August 27th against the A's, so it's been a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, he could use it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, fingers crossed the Yankees do take care of business against the Orioles coming up, and then right after that, they have some other team that should beat. Oh, they have Cleveland right after that, who is better than the Orioles, but should still be taken 2 out of 3 at least.
Yeah, they really can't be giving up. I'm not expecting them to sweep both series or whatever, but they really should. Out of 6 games between the Orioles and Cleveland, they should win like 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah, and then right after that, they host the Rangers for 3. So that's another series that they should win against a weak opponent. Because after that, it's Red Sox, Blue Jays, Rays to end the season. So yeah. that's going to be quite the finale, but at least they'll have some off days mixed in there, assuming that there are no rainouts. So
yeah, there's like slight hope that the Rays are going to be resting guys, because like they'll have the division locked up and don't really have anything to really play for, because I think they have a comfortable lead as far as like even home field is concerned, like between them and the Astros and White Sox for like as far as division winners. I think the Rays have a significant lead there.
Yeah,
but it's also the Rays, so even you could see them just not resting players just to destroy the Yankees' playoff hopes. But also, I could see like even just their B guys just being annoying.
Yeah,
twice.
It's what the Rays do so, best.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so yeah, beat these next 3 teams like you should, Yankees, because it's not going to get easier after that.
Yeah, this is the cushy part. Yeah, I know this is the end of like the 20 games in 20 days, but this is still the cushy part. Please take care of business and don't lose to these teams. Okay. Good pep talk. I'm sure that Aaron Boone is listening closely. So
yes.
All right. So take it easy, everyone. Hope to talk to you next week with the Yankees still in wildcard position, and we'll chat then. Farewell.
See ya.